Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a good Saturday morning from our Baldwin County Annex of St. Hubert's Cathedral. Glad to have you joining us this morning. By the way, tomorrow, we missed it by one day. National Sardine Day is tomorrow. Now, I got to tell you, there's not many food items on my Do Not Eat list, but that's one of the few. Yeah, the little fish who has a day, all named in its honor. Sardines. Do you like sardines? It's probably a love them or hate them with most people. Well, anyway, were you ready to deal with this wintertime type weather that came across the Gulf Coast to fish and hunt in? Got a little question for you. What changes in your gear or techniques do you switch to deal with the colder, maybe even windier conditions that impact not just us, but the fishing game too? If you got a tip or some advice to share, text it to us along with your comments, your questions, and we get plenty of those each week. And we'll add them in with the reports from our professional captains and marina operators. And we'll get a tip or two from them about changing gear and tactics for colder weather fishing and hunting. And you do that by texting that message real time into our studio at 504-260-1870. Put it into your contact list. That's 504-260-1870. Been quite a discussion, somewhat controversial, going on about the use of motorized kayaks during tournaments. It's an ongoing discussion. We'll touch on it a little bit with Eric Mohabarak. Brendan Bayard last week told us that it was the day after the vote was taken by the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club to allow the use of motors for kayaks in tournaments. What do you think about that? Do you think it strictly should be paddling or pedaling, or do you think it's time for the motors to come in? Big advantage if you got a motorized vessel, that's for sure. And if you are planning to motorize your kayak or your paddle craft, and if you already have, do you have it legally set up? Paul Bernard, U.S. Coast Guard media contact, and he was kind enough to send me some regulations. You're basically the same as a motorized vessel, even though it is a kayak. I'll run down those for you. And is there anybody who is out there that can use a free $103,500? Well, that'd be nice just in time for Christmas, huh? Well, you can get it if you have some information about someone who has been a bad boy in the outdoors. I'll tell you how to cash in on this huge reward that's being offered. Got a big weekend in a week coming up next week. A lot of people on vacation, taking off for the Thanksgiving holidays. Of course, Black Friday, not only the biggest shopping day of the year, it's one of the biggest hunting and fishing days because all the seasons are open. People have a little extra time. It's a great time to get out there. So we're going to have some tips and advice for you to get out and enjoy the Thanksgiving weekend. All right, we got offshore today, northeast winds 5 to 10, pretty light, 1 to 2 foot seas. They'll drop down a foot tomorrow. That winds that you're getting out of the north and northeast are expected to switch around by tomorrow. It'll be southerly breeze and southeast wind on the interior. It's going to be southeast at 5 to 10 in smooth conditions. But today it's a little breezy out there, 10 to 15 out of the north on the interior lakes and bays, and that's for you duck hunters too. Your average tide range, 0.8, just under a foot. It's going to be falling until afternoon in most of our areas. Mississippi River, 3.8, and got a little bit of a fall in it. No chance of rain today. Had a little bit of a front pass through, but it was a dry one, bringing us some cool, nice weather. After we get through this chilly start this morning, some excellent conditions to get out and enjoy what we talk about here every Saturday morning, the great outdoors. Robbie Campo in Shell Beach is not in Shell Beach this morning. He's still up in Kentucky chasing those swamp donkeys. So we have Glenn Sanchez, very capable hands of Glenn, going to tell us what's going on down in the St. Bernard, Delacroix, Hopedale, Shell Beach areas. Also got Captain Mike Gallo, Daryl Carpenter, Eric Mohabarak, and we got three duck hunting blinds we'll be visiting a little bit later in the show in the second hour. Mike Smith of L.A. Duck Hunts, Ryan Lambert of Cajun Fishing Adventures, and our friend out at Hackberry Rod and Gun will be talking to Captain Kirk. So stick around. We got a full 2 hours to go, and you're listening to it all on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And with Robbie Campo vacationing and deer hunting up in Kentucky for the final weekend, we got Glenn Sanchez filling in. Glenn is a former reporter on this station and this show. He did it for many, many years. He was the owner-operator of the Breton Sound Marina, and he's got his finger on the pulse of the fishing down there in what they call the parish. It covers a lot of areas, Reggio, Delacroix, Shell Beach, Hopedale, and areas beyond. Glenn, good morning. How you doing on this lead-in to Thanksgiving week?
Man, I tell you, this little cold front is going to turn the fish on so much, and it's perfect timing because Thanksgiving week's coming, and all the kids are going to have time to go fishing with their parents. It's perfect time.
Yeah, I got some really great Windbreak reports. Mike Gallo sent me some very impressive pictures. I mean, these are some of the biggest and most plentiful speckled trout that I've seen this whole season. And, yeah, that front's got something to do with it, and it kind of congregates the fish. Glenn, we're looking for some tips and advice on changing tactics. You know, people go out in the summertime, and they use certain tactics, fish certain areas, scenarios, baits, the way they work their lures. What changes do you need to make when that weather starts changing?
Right now, I mean, heck, you're still going to fish with live shrimp if you can get them because, I mean, they're all leaving right now. So the few that they have in the marsh that's left over, the trout are going to jump on them. But if you're going to fish with plastic, you know, you fish with it under a cork, you know, pop it. And if that doesn't work, leave it sit sometimes. Just pop it just a little bit. Sometimes you need to go on the bottom and drag it a little bit slow on the bottom, bouncing it off the bottom. You know, you just need to change up and figure out what they want and how they want it.
What about spots that you would look for that maybe wouldn't be successful in the summertime when it's hot and you got warm water temperatures, but during the cold times, maybe fish a little deeper sometimes? Those fish getting that little bit, even if it's just a couple degrees difference, they get down there on the bottom and they find that comfort level.
Well, you know, in the summertime, the fish are on the outside, and I think the water's a lot cooler out there. So in the wintertime, when they come in, you know, all you need to do is find some different temperature. If it's too warm or if it's too cold, just move around until you find something that you're looking for, and then take it from there.
Glenn, as far as you know, no problems with the bridge this morning. You know, Pat, last weekend they had it shut down and people had to divert to get down there. Any problems this weekend?
I don't really know, but I don't believe so because they normally don't do it 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, and they slipped up. They normally get the information out, but I didn't get the word on it, and I'm glad that it was brought to my attention. Well, Glenn, what else can you tell people who are headed out there this morning? You know, we had that 20-degree rule, remember, whenever the temperature's forecast, if you're going to be on the water and out in the wind where it's damp, dress like it's 20 degrees colder.
Without a doubt. And this time of year, I tell people all the time, bring a bag of dry clothes in case somebody was to fall overboard. Because, look, that happened to me a couple of years ago, and I had a dry bag, so I thought. And I had to come home commando style in a rain suit in November. And it was not a very fun trip. And my bag stays in the boat now.
Yeah, and you don't worry about fashion. Anything will do, you know, just something dry.
Something dry.
Old pair of sweatpants, sweatshirt with a hood, that kind of stuff, man, that'd save your life. It'd save you a lot of misery, for sure, if you get wet.
Yes, without a doubt. But this is a great time of the year. You got fishermen out here running around. You got duck hunters hunting. It's a wonderful time of year. You can come out and enjoy the marsh. You don't have to worry about being beat to death by the sun and have to get in. You know, you could fish all day long if you like this time of year.
Yeah, and you got to remember, you know, on the water and at the launch courtesy. There's going to be a lot of crowds at the boat launches. Might be a little bit of a long line. And then when you get out there, you're going to encounter more boats than we normally would. So just give everybody their space and be kind and courteous when you're out there. Because remember, it's all about fun. That's what it's supposed to be.
That's right. That's right. You can have more peace and serenity out here than any place else.
Glenn, are you hearing anything about ducks in Biloxi Marsh? This has been one of the weirdest seasons I can recall. The reports from the flyover survey said this was one of the worst duck seasons we've ever had. There's some spots down there in St. Bernard and Plaquemines Parish that have been better than they've been in decades. And in other people, it's like a wasteland. There's nothing there. And I haven't gotten hardly any good reports from Biloxi Marsh. Maybe this last front I brought some birds in, huh?
You know, I run up that way a couple of times a week, and I'll see a few birds, but nothing like I used to see years ago. But I heard they got birds down toward Point Lahash and Oak River and Spanish Lake area. That way, that's where they're supposed to be. The most birds is what I was told anyway.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of hearing the same thing. And some good reports from Delacro, which isn't too far now.
Right. Well, Spanish Lake is right there. So they can, you know, once they get up and fly from one pond to the next, they can go from one parish to the next in no time.
That's right. As the duck flies, it's a pretty short distance. Well, Glenn, listen, thanks for filling in for Robbie these weeks. We really appreciate it. I know he does, too. And y'all have a happy Thanksgiving. And everybody get out there and catch some fish.
You do the same. And everybody stay safe. And happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
All right, Glenn. See you next time, buddy. Thanks for what you do. All right, there he goes. That's Glenn Sanchez. Everybody remember him from the Breton Sound Marina? All right, we come back after this. I got some very important information to tell you about. We're going to get to some of your text messages, 504-260-1870. That's how to get on, and we'll read it to us and share it with our audience on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, a couple of reminders. The red snapper season for charter boats only, not for just recreational fishermen, has been reopened. They found out we had a few left on our quota, and they will be running that until throughout the end of the year. So if you want to get a red snapper trip in, call your local charter boat, who is an offshore licensed, federally permitted guide, and you can get you some of the red snapper. Also, flounder season in Louisiana is still closed through November the 30th. So next Sunday, if you catch one of those flounders, doesn't have to go back in the water, can go into the ice chest. And I know that's going to make a lot of you happy. All right, let's get to some of our text messages. We've got this one says, this is from our friend Lafayette Yakka, weighing in on the controversial issue of should motors be allowed on kayaks in tournament. He says, as time goes on, most sports improve to ruin the basics of the sport. Same with kayak fishing. If the sport paddles, pedals, electronics are used, I still prefer pedals and human power. Just keep the sport simple. He also said that COVID and those changes have affected kayak fishing and most of all the camaraderie in the sport. Those of us up in age have benefited from all of these if used. Yes, some folks think that there should be an age limit. If you're over a certain age, maybe 60 or 65, then they would allow you to use the motors, but otherwise it would strictly be paddle or pedal power. But always two sides, sometimes three sides to an issue. All right, we have a question about the bridge being opened. Our friend Butch, who manages the Wycloski Bridge, says the bridge going down into the parish, also known as the Green Bridge, is fine this morning. It's open. All right, and Sylvia's kind of got a personal request. Sylvia, I'll let you know that after the show I will respond and get you that information you're looking for. Here's one that says, Don, been talking since 2010 when I hit 65. Oh, been taking, not sure what's taking. But anyway, when it hit 65, joints and other stuff started breaking. Motor keeps me on the water at 70. Motor's okay. For old dogs, there you go. Well, go get them. And we're hearing from my friend the Wingbone, the turkey call maker up in Wilmer, not far from where I am here in Alabama. He got 2 days for black powder hunting in with his old flintlock. He does it old school for sure, but no deer. But keep going. It's a very early season there, Wingbone. Got lots of time to get one. All right, we got this one from the backstrap stacker. The little backstrap stacker was successful last weekend. Didn't take him long. Got a nice buck and sent me a nice picture. So congratulations to him. Gun season's open, and he's got a crew today. The backstrap stacker has two girls under the age of 12, and he's hoping there's a deaf buck nearby. Yeah, I get it. I get it. Little chatty kids with you in the blind. That's okay. They're having fun. And let's see, we got this one, fishing in Louisiana, deer hunting in Mississippi, lots to be thankful for. That's Ben from Mississippi. Yeah, you're right. Next week will be the time when we remember all the things, the blessings to be thankful for, and getting out and hunting and fishing with friends and family is certainly on the top of a lot of folks' lists. All right, we got Greg and Tony T. They're going to Golden Meadow and hopefully to catch some speckle trout. They love the radio show. Thanks. All right, here's our buddy the Steel Man. He's checking in from Pecan Island, Big Bar, and he had a slow day in Gaydon yesterday, as a matter of fact. Pro, T. Sykes, Darcy, KT, OT Kells, and the Steel Man are hoping for better luck. He's asking, got a request, too. He wants me to judge a duck calling contest, a mano-a-mano between Big Bar Sr. and the Steel Man. He's going to email the recordings. Yeah, do that. In fact, I'll do one more favor for you. I'm going to be hunting with Mike Smith, who you'll be hearing from a little bit later on. Mike is a five-time Louisiana State duck calling champion and a former judge for the World Calling Championship. So I'm going to get his opinion. When I get with him next week, I'll bring your recordings down there and let Mike listen to it, and we'll announce the winner. It's a head-up competition between the Steel Man and Big Bar Senior. And may the best man win. All right, another duck hunter's checking in, a duck and goose hunter, and he's a good one, Roland Cortez. He's hunting up at Dave's Bayou in North Louisiana and says they've had a good start to the duck season up there. If you got a text message you want to shoot to us, it's 504-260-1870. Anything you want to talk about on the outdoor show is certainly welcome. Here's a question coming in. What type of turkey do you prefer to eat for Thanksgiving, baked or fried? Easy decision for me. Definitely baked. I'm not a fried turkey fan for a number of reasons. One, the bird itself, and maybe there's some secret somebody has, it has a tendency to always be dry when you fry it. Number two, the effort you have to go through to fry a turkey, the amount of oil that you have to use, and sometimes it gets a little dangerous when you're hauling a big, 14, 16-pound turkey and dropping it into boiling oil with a burner going on underneath. There's been homes burned down from that. And I've done it, and, it's okay, but if I got a choice, I'm going baked every time. In fact, I have a smoked wild turkey in my freezer, and I've been debating on how to prepare it. Maybe somebody can give me some suggestions, but right now I'm leaning towards brining it to make sure it gets tender, and doing it in Uncle Larry's Ready Set Gumbo. Just cut it up in pieces and let it simmer for a long time so it gets tender. It's already got that smoke flavor in it. Should be good. But that's not going to be for Thanksgiving. That'll probably be more like Christmas and New Year. All right, hope we're making you hungry. I'm getting a little hungry myself. When we come back after this, bad boy time. Hey, can you use $103,500 about now? Well, you can earn it. If you know anything about a bad boy they're trying to track down, we'll give you those details and tell you about this week's Bad Boy of the Outdoors. That's coming up next right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, if those of you who have been waiting to hear how to cash in on a $103,500 reward, here it is. There was a federally protected Mexican wolf found dead northwest of Flagstaff, Arizona, just a couple of weeks ago on November the 7th. It is a female Mexican wolf. It had the number F2979. These endangered animals are very highly protected and kept track of. This one was found dead in the vicinity of Forest Service Road and East Spring Valley Road. It's under investigation, and a reward has been gathered from several organizations that totals up to $103,500. Given for information that leads to successful prosecution in the case. Anyone with information on individuals who were in that area where the wolf was found on those dates, or information they think could be helpful, are urged to call the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service special agents in Arizona. And I have the number, and if you text me, I'll give it to you. I'll send it back to you. But killing one of these endangered Mexican wolves is a violation of both the state and the federal endangered species. And, people say, well, why are you mentioning this out here in Louisiana and Mississippi, Alabama, and it happened in that? Well, you never know. People travel and hunt a lot, and someone may have some information. And also sometimes people who do these things have a tendency to brag about it, and that is their downfall. So if you have any information, contact them, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, direct, or I'll give you that phone number if you have it, and you would be enjoying $103,500, one of the biggest rewards I've ever seen. All right, we have a bad boy story coming up, but first we've got to pause a quick 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, Agent Sergeant Justin Saunier and Lieutenant David Sanford received the complaint on October 24th from a resident of Gaydon in Vermilion Parish about his neighbor shooting a shotgun and revving up an ATV on multiple days while he was trying to deer hunt. Well, 4 days after the report, the agents contacted the neighbor, Ernest Patin, who admitted to the agents that he was indeed shooting his shotgun and revving up his ATV in an effort to keep deer away from his neighbor while the neighbor was hunting. Patin said he and his neighbor were in a dispute, so he was doing this as retaliation. Well, in Louisiana and many other states, hunters are protected from harassment, and the agents proceeded to cite and now facing a maximum fine of $350 is 71-year-old Ernest Patin of Gaydon, Louisiana, a not-so-neighborly neighbor and our bad boy of the outdoors. Yep, it's illegal, and it's a protected activity to hunt and fish, and if someone is harassing you or disrupting, the reason, you know, a lot of times this occurs. I've had cases where somebody was putting a cologne on somebody's deer stand and around on their feeder and their food plots to keep the deer away. But, you know, and a lot of times it's jealousy or like this neighbor disputes. But these laws, as I remember when they enacted them, I don't know, it's probably been 10, 15, maybe longer years ago. It was originally designed to deal with the anti-hunting group, the animal rights activists, you know, these mostly women with, you know, blue hair, and they dress up like vegetables and do crazy things, and they will go out. And in fact, I remember they were gonna come down here and disrupt. This was PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. They were going to come to Louisiana, and they were going to scare the fish away at the Grand Isle International Tarpon Rodeo. Their plan was to go out there with buckets of rocks, and they were going to throw rocks in the water to scare the fish away. And that's hysterical. You know, they had no idea what the Grand Isle Tarpon Rodeo was, how it was laid out, what's going on, and you're not going to come down and make enough. You have to do quite a disruption to interrupt and harass people from fishing in Grand Isle. But they've kind of backed off their activities over the years. You don't hear as much about PETA, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, and some of these other groups that believe that you shouldn't fish, that fish feel pain, and it's cruel to catch them and put them in ice chests and kill them. But, hey, you know, that's the circle of life. Anyway, hunting harassment, fishing harassment, don't do it because you could be sighted and get a fine like our friend here, Mr. Patin. We'll see how that all pans out. All right, getting back to the text board, this is kind of sad. Our Ohio listeners checking in with a heavy heart. Their dancing partner died last night, the kitty, a cat with tooth abscess. Says, give your partners, P-A-W-T-N-R-E-S, a scrub and a hug today. They're people too. And I fully understand that. Our pets, our dogs, they're our hunting buddies. They're our constant companions. And I tell you what, sometimes no better friends than those who are canine or feline. And we're feeling for you this morning, Ohio. And says it's very cold up there, too. Yeah, I can imagine. Been a little chilly down here. All right, we come back after this. Got some more info to share with you. Get some of your text messages, 504-260-1870. Did you hear there was another case of chronic wasting disease found in some white-tailed deer in Jefferson Davis Parish? We'll tell you what the fallout from that is going to be and a little more about that CWD, that disease itself. We'll be back to do that. Get some more fishing info, the stuff we love to talk about every Saturday morning from 5 to 7 a.m. on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, getting to our text messages. We got this one says, back from the Lafayette Yakker, checking in again. He says, now you're cooking show. He's going to try a greaseless fry. Any suggestions? I don't know. I don't know if you can air fry a turkey. Maybe if somebody's had any experience with that, let me know. But as far as I know, you got to have the grease to have the fried turkey. Here's a question. Have I ever eaten a turducken turkey? If so, would you recommend it? Yes, I highly recommend it. Turducken, for those of you not know, it's pretty well famous. It's a stuffed duck, chicken, and turkey, each with a different stuffing, and they are inserted inside each other. So what you do is when you carve it, you get a little slice of duck, a slice of turkey, and a slice of chicken with maybe two or three different types of dressings inside. The guy that made it famous is Glenn Mistich, who is on the West Bank in New Orleans. He owns Gourmet Butcher Block, and he has probably the best turducken around. He's the one that showed up on Super Bowls with John Madden, and they would serve it during Thanksgiving week or during the Super Bowl. I think he's going to be there this year when it's in New Orleans and serving it. But the rap on turducken is it's too much. It's too many flavors. They would rather eat just a turkey, just a stuffed duck, or just a stuffed chicken. And he's got all of those, too. But if you want to experience all three and have a lot of food to serve a lot of people, turducken may be your answer. All right, here's one from one of our listeners, regular listener, Donnie Sampson. He hunted with Mike Smith on the Youth Day with his son, and it was 14, and his grandson, 10. So, you know, he had three generations of Sampsons. And they had their limit in 34 minutes, back at the dock by 8 a.m. Boy, that's the way to do it. And that's got to be some pretty good shooting from those kids to have it done in 34 minutes. Congratulations to your son and grandson. They've got some pretty good shooting done there. All right, here's one that says, I'm looking for a wildlife refuge to hunt deer this year. Any suggestions? By the way, I also have 9 chocolate lab puppies getting their shots and wellness check today. That's Creole Leo. Well, as far as the puppies, 9 of them, you got your hands full there. I hope you get adoptions quick. All right, then on deer hunting, a wildlife refuge, you know, Tensaw, probably one of the best. The further north you go in Louisiana, I think the better chances. But there's some good deer hunting in the Pearl River Wildlife Management Area and some of the others. But you'll be hunting maybe swamps, a Joyce Management Area, Man Shack. You know, if you like to hunt swamps, it's a little tougher access. But some of those North Louisiana WMAs are pretty good. You can find an entire list of them on the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries website. Got maps and all the regulations on them. So thanks for that, Leo. We appreciate it. All right, we got Doug checking in. He's invited to shoot hogs in Mississippi. Do I need a Mississippi license? And if so, what type? Well, the way it works in Mississippi is, you need a license, number one. And I'm assuming you're on private land since you got an invitation. On private land in Mississippi, boy, they really want to get rid of those hogs. You can kill them during daylight, nighttime hours, year-round, 365 days a year. No restriction on what type of weapon you're using. You can use high-powered rifle. You can shoot them with a bow. You can shoot them with a shotgun. And there are further restrictions if you're hunting on public land, but from what you're telling me, it sounds like you're going to be on private land. So get your license and get you some hogs. In fact, we're going to be doing a show, and I'm really interested and anxious to do this, on Bayou Wild TV after the first of the year. We're going to go down and hunt with Derek Poor and his guys who do the troops in Tusk. Will Clark, a famous baseball player, is going to be with us, and we're going to be doing some nighttime hunting for hogs. And Chef Philippe Parola is going to come down there with us, and he is going to demonstrate how to remove the very important parts, the hams and the backstraps, off of a wild hog in the field, and then put it into some plastic wrapping and put it in your backpack and leave the mess out there, no gutting, no hanging, no all that kind of stuff, skinning or any of that stuff. He says it can be done in a matter of minutes. And I think more people will take hogs if you can learn how to get that done. He's going to demonstrate it on a future episode of Bayou Wild TV. All right, 504-260-1870 is our text line. The Mad Trucker's checking in. Here's one that wants to wish me and the Bayou Wild crew and all the listeners a happy Thanksgiving. And goes on to say, man, some Uncle Larry's ready, set, gumbo, smoked turkey gumbo would definitely hit the spot on this 39-degree morning. Perchance, are you having any stuffed melatonin on the side with your baked turkey? Inquiring minds want to know. That's from my friend David. Matter of fact, David, I was just checking on my vines, and I've got three. One is huge and two of your average size. And, yes, we are going to take those melatons, and I'm not quite sure if it'll be a casserole or stuffed, but we're going to make use of them. And I'm going to need to get some info from you on care, winter care for the melatons to make sure they come back again next year. All right, we got Jason and the crew over at Corey's Barbershop. He's checking in with us on his way to work. They're going to go cut some hair. My barber, Jason, he's a guy that keeps me looking so good when you see me on TV. Corey's Barbershop is located in Covington, Louisiana. All right, still to come, we got a fishing report coming up in just a minute or so with Captain Darrell Carpenter. Check out how Grand Isle is doing on this kind of a wintry start to the morning, but it's going to warm up later on, be a beautiful day today. Also going to tell you what you need if you're going to be motorizing your kayaks in the way of being legal. Our friend Paul Bernard put that on Facebook, and I've got some info to pass along there. We'll talk to Mike Gallo, we'll talk to Eric Mahabarak, and going to visit three duck blinds this morning and find out what's happening out there in the marshes for the folks that are looking to get those quackers. All that's still to come right here on the Outdoors with Tom Dubuque Radio Network. All right, it's a chilly start to the morning, but it's going to warm up a little bit later on. Got a pretty good tide range, going to have a little switch in the winds, but it's going to remain pretty light. It's blowing a little steady out there this morning, but it will decrease as we get into the weekend. Let's see what Darrell Carpenter's got going on around Grand Isle. Darrell, what can you tell us about fishing in Grand Isle for this weekend?
The weekend ought to be pretty nice, Don. I mean, there's been a lot that no fishing basically this past week. When that storm come through, of course, Grand Isle was flooded by both the tides. Plus, they received like 8 inches of rain, which even flooded inside their little levee. So most of the week was spent on doing cleanup. But, yeah, I mean, you got this little bit of a it's still kind of cool, but the bad weather's going through. So things will be starting to calm down. We got bright, sunny days. So during the middle of the day, the water ought to start warming up a little bit from that radiant sunshine. And, you know, it's typical wintertime pattern. Don't wake up with the chickens at the crack of dawn. Just wait till the middle of the day and go find you some flats and some current points, and you ought to be able to scratch together some fish.
Dow, for someone who doesn't fish that often and maybe their last trip it was 80, 90 degrees and now they're going to be going out there with early morning temperatures nearing in the 30s and in the 40s, besides going further north and getting up into the marshes where and following the speckled trout, what are the changes in your tactics or gear that you would use to address this change in conditions in the winter?
Well, the first is when the marinas can't get shrimp, when your favorite bait store can't get shrimp, it's because they're not out there, or there's a whole lot fewer of them out there. So that means that the fish are turning off of them, too. This is the time of the year when it doesn't hurt to fish with minnows. You're going to get just as good of a result out of minnows. You're going to get just as good a result out of plastic. You know, just sometimes you got to go deeper. Sometimes you got to slow it down. But, this is more, you know, Grand Isle is known as one of the first spots that speckled trout turns on, and then it becomes just a mad race. Get out there, see how fast you can catch a speckled trout and go. This time of the year is more about enjoying your fishing trip. And, you know, if you just slow it down and pound the points, hit multiple spots if you have to, you're going to end up putting together a nice box of fish.
Yeah, and Darrell, you know, there's a variety of fish, too, to be caught in the wintertime. You can catch the bottom feeders as well as the speckled trout. What do you anticipate fishermen are going to encounter next spring when the fishing starts to turn on again after we get through that tough month of February and water starts warming up? Do you think that all those fish that were released under the new size limit will be legal fish next year? The ones that are left, the pelicans and dolphins, didn't get the dine on?
Yeah, Don, that's a man. I'm up in the air on that one. I don't know. I mean, I look back to my bass fishing days where, you know, when they tried this in the Chaffalot Spillway, I realize we're talking about a totally different estuary. We're talking about a totally different fish, but I'm kind of anticipating the same results. Is those fish are going to go where they want to go, and as they get bigger, they're going to probably leave, you know, and head out onto the beaches or whatever, wherever. But I just don't know if they're going to grow into that 13-inch. I guess time's going to tell. And the Atchafalaya Spillway, it took about 3 years, and all the fish grew right up to that limit, and, you know, the bass grew right up to that limit and then just kind of stopped. I mean, they didn't really get any bigger. Or should I say they didn't survive past that point? I don't know. I'm up in the air. I'm a little bit nervous about it. I know we should have, depending on the winter we have, if last year was any kind of an indication, we should have a bumper crop of fish again, barring any hard freezes that has a massive fish kill. I think next year is going to be a bumper year. And this year, to be honest with you, Don, this year, I bet you that I didn't throw back 100 fish this year. I mean, they were all just nice big fish this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's certainly the best case scenario, because, you know, there's a lot of question about, there's a whole lot more fish having to be released, which means they have to be handled, they have to be exposed to the predators, and people catch more fish than if they caught their first 15 or what used to be 25 and you leave. But when you got to catch 100 or more to get those fish, it's kind of questionable. Well, are you really doing the right thing? Oh, I guess time will tell.
Look, without a doubt, you know, I'm not, by no means a fisheries biologist, but, you know, but they do call me sometimes to want to know where to go set their nets. So I guess that means something. But I can tell you right now where they are dead wrong is their release mortality. I mean, that's their release mortality. They guess somewhere around 20%. That's way wrong. But that's where, you know, my nerves kind of kick in some to see how it's going to end up. But we will see. I mean, time's going to tell.
Yes, indeed. Well, Darryl, have a good weekend. Enjoy Thanksgiving. And if somebody wants to get a hold of you in the meantime, they can find you on my website. Got a direct link to you. But give them the telephone number and your site.
It's realscreamers.com or 225-937-6288.
Anything special on the Carpenter Thanksgiving menu this year?
No, actually, Don, I mean, the last time you saw me, you saw there's a lot less of me. So Thanksgiving, the meal at Thanksgiving is not a big thing for us. So we trying to stay. It was hard to get rid of, so we're trying to stay on that diet.
There you go. All right, Darryl, thanks as always, my friend. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Darryl Carpenter, realscreamers.com. All right, got a few texts coming in this morning. Someone sent me an email about frying a turkey without frying it in oil. I'm going to have to check that out when I get a minute. Very interesting. I guess that's air frying it. Well, if you can do that, that solves one problem. But does it still come out dry? How do you have a moist, tender turkey when you're frying it? That's a big question. 504-260-1870 is our text line. Put it to great use. Someone missed last week's deer collision. Number one state, it was West Virginia. And we'll be back to do another whole hour of this stuff. Also got those motorized vessel regulations for kayaks next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Network. And welcome into hour number two of the Outdoor Show. Got some fishing reports coming up for you, and also some in the blind duck hunting reports. We'll be doing that from areas in Delacroix, also down in Burris, and as well as over in the Lake Charles Calcasieu area at Hackberry Rod and Gun. In fact, we have Lafitte LT says he's looking forward to meeting Captain Kirk. He's got a weekend hunt next week in Hackberry. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone, he's wishing to. Well, good luck, and let us know how you do, Lafitte. And maybe we'll even get him on the air while you're with him if you're hunting on Saturday morning. And here's one, let's see. about the it was a recipe for the greaseless fried turkey. Let's see if I can find it. But sometimes these come in so quickly, it's hard to keep up with them. Here it is. I use my infrared fryer for turkey. I use a zesty Italian crab boil butter injection. I use a little more than if I was frying in grease because you lose some of the liquid versus it flowing through the grease. It comes out tender and juicy. Whew. Okay, yeah, well, maybe I'll have to look into that. All right, we also have these regulations. You know, we got some people texting the frog lawyer, and I'd like to know how he got that name. Does he represent frogs in court? Tell you what, I certainly would be guilty of frog aside if he took me to court. Anyway, he's opposed to it. You know, there was a vote taken from the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, and it was in favor of allowing motorized kayaks in their tournaments. So there's a lot of discussion going on about that. Paul Bernard, who is information director for the Coast Guard, sent me some information on what you need to be legal if you are going to motorize your kayak. And you got to realize if you do that, you're basically going to be running a motor vessel, and you'll have to have it registered with the numbers, get the numbers displayed on both sides of the bow, and keep your registration paperwork with you. If you're at night, you can't just use the lights that you would normally use for kayaks if you're paddling or pedaling. You've got to have the red and green bow lights, and you got to have a stern light, just as if you were, you know, going to be out there running a regular motorized boat. And, you know, some other information, too. You got to have a device that produces a sound, like a horn, or that complies with the rules. You got to have, of course, naturally, your PFDs have to be there. And really, if you're in a kayak, you should absolutely be wearing it. And it's got to be the proper size. You know, again, if you're going to be under all of the different regulations as if you were running, say, a bay boat, but it's going to be for your kayak. You got to have those special lighting. Anyway, if you want to find out exactly the details on it, I would suggest you go to his Facebook page. It's Paul Bernard, and there may be more than one Paul Bernard, but he's the one that is used to be affiliated with the Coast Guard, and he knows all about the safe boating regulations. We've worked with him in the past, and he can get you all set up. As far as my opinion on using them in competitions, I think they're fine to use. If you want to spend the money and rig it out whatever you can, that's your own personal opinion. But in competition, if you're going to have someone with a motorized kayak against someone who's paddling or pedaling, definitely an advantage there. I would be opposed to that. But I would say there could be some exceptions, you know, like they do with the wildlife and fisheries on WMAs. People over a certain age or with physically challenged, they might be able to be allowed to use a motorized. So they can compete in these tournaments, too. But I don't know. There's also they were made to, you know, kayaks fishing in mind was to kind of remain primitive and limit the access and the distance you can go. And that's kind of lost when you put motors on them. But to each his own, like I say, if you're just doing it for the fun of your own personal kayaking, knock yourself out. Deck it out with all the electronics and automatic push power poles and everything else you want to put on it, motorize it. But for competition, I don't know. I guess maybe they'll eventually have two competitions, a motorized division and a non-motorized division. Maybe there's enough interest to do that. What do you think? Text us, 504-260-1870. When we come back, Mike Gallo, man, he sent me some pictures that will just simply knock your socks off this week. He's into some big trout, and his quote on the bottom, his caption was, "We whacked them today." And I would say, you whacked them, shellacked them, maul dragged them, whatever term you want to use, he got on them. We'll find out where he was and how he did it. Coming back on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. I don't think he was really born on the bayou, but he was born pretty close to it. Mike Gallo joins us. His presentation of his reports is from CETO. They give you the free towing, fuel delivery, jump starts, dock-to-dock towing, always assistance from their staff of expert captains when you need them and where they need them. And with the Christmas shopping season around, for $249, give a great gift to one of your loved ones who's a boater, may not have that, and then from then on they can renew it each and every year. It's like AAA on the water and mostly gives you peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or go to ceto.com and check it out. Captain Mike joins us now. And, Mike, that was one of the most impressive pictures of speckled trout and actually a mixed catch of other fish that I've seen in a long time. Tell us what was going on and how did you do it?
Well, Don, this story actually starts on Thursday. Thursday, it was fairly windy. I fished with the Baton Rouge fishing gang. Those nine guys came down, stayed in the lodge, and then we had three boats go out. Captain Drake and Captain James helped me with that group, and we all descended upon the Pearl River area. It's been fairly clean water and been fairly productive, so that's where we went. Well, it turned out to be a grind for me. I barely got out of there with 25 fish, and it was a mix. Mostly speckled trout, a couple of freshwater catfish, couple of redfish, and even a bass. One of the captains found a nice mess of white trout, and the third captain actually went into the Lakeshore Estates area where he caught, I think he had 22 sheephead, a big sheephead too. So it was, you know, my side of the story. I didn't do well in the Pearl River. I struggled. It was a grind. So obviously yesterday I decided let's run down the Intercoastal Waterway and see if we can find cleaner water. So that's where I went yesterday. And I wouldn't say it was a grind, but we did cover a lot of territory drifting along the shoreline, along the rocks. And we just had to work like a team. Whenever somebody caught one or missed one, they needed to be verbal about it so the other two could cast in the same area and see if we could cash in on catching a few out of those little schools that are roaming up and down the shoreline. So that was our strategy yesterday, and that paid off for me very well. Some bigger than average fish came from that. Oddly enough, Captain Danny, who ran the other half of this group from Georgia, went back to the Pearl River, and he did very well, had his limit by around 10:30. So it's fishing. From one day to the next, it can be different.
When you were fishing over there, were you fishing on the marsh side or were you fishing the rock side?
We fished both. Hmm. We moved around quite a bit. We would look for birds. It didn't have to be birds diving. It could be just what we call search birds. Those birds are searching around the area because they can see bait, and the bait might just be too deep for the seagull to be able to dive down and get it, but he's hoping there's fish that's going to chase the bait to the surface. So just seeing birds circling above can be an indication, and we would give it 15 or 20 minutes, and if we didn't catch, we'd move. So like I say, we covered a fair amount of ground yesterday, or water, and you know, once we would find a few, we might drift that one area three or four times. It might only be 200 yards long, but we would drift it, go back, drift it again, and once we felt like it played out, we would look for a similar area, whether we were in 15 feet of water or 8 feet of water, and we would just move around.
Were you fishing with plastics and just jigging it off the bottom? Were you fishing under a cork, or were you using live bait?
We were using live bait on a drop shot, and we also had some plastic mixed in with it. Yeah. I'm using colors that are mimicking pogies or shrimp, so they're light colored. I like Glow. I've been using the Glow a lot. Berkeley has a white, Berkeley Gulp shrimp in white is a good color. So those worked as far as the plastics, and of course the live shrimp. Can't beat that.
Have you gotten a hold of that Marker 54, that shrimp looking?
I've seen them. Mm-hmm. I've seen them. I've had people bring them on the boat. It's a great-looking lure. I can't say that I've personally used it yet, but I've heard great things about it.
Yeah. Well, Mike, one last question. One of our listeners wants to know about the what kind of tide can they expect tomorrow around Lake Catherine? Is it, like most areas, going to be a falling tide in the morning? And looks to me it's a little bit under a foot, so it should be some pretty good water moving there.
Yeah, it'll probably be a falling tide in the morning. Tide fell all day yesterday. When I came across Lake Pontchartrain around 2 o'clock, it was still falling, and I could see several shrimpers staging in Chef's Pass getting ready to catch those shrimp as they're leaving. you know, behind this front. So all of those things are good signs for better fishing for us moving forward.
Got it. Mike, somebody wants to get a hold of you and get in on some of this wintertime fishing. Maybe you and your captains can squeeze them in. They can find you on my website. What's your site and phone number?
Well, you can find me at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com. My website is AAofLA.com. Social media, Angling Adventures of Louisiana, or 985-781-7811.
And some wonderful accommodations at the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge for the out-of-town guests. Mike, I hope you have just half the trip that you guys had yesterday. And we've got beautiful weather conditions out there, too. You got some lucky customers today going with you. And we'll talk with you next week.
All right, Don, we'll talk to you then. And before I talk to you, I hope everybody has a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. You do the same. All right, there he goes, our own Born on the Bayou, Captain Mike Gallo, Angling Adventures of Louisiana. Coming back next, we got the Paddler's Report for you. Captain Eric Mohabarak joins us to tell you where you can find some fish in your paddle craft or your pedal craft or your newly motorized kayak. Back with his report next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Yes, it is time for our paddlers slash peddlers slash motorized kayak report brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. And I know they got their Tackle Tuesdays going on. And this Tuesday, when they have those special hours from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., now listen to this closely. The first 25 customers this Tuesday will get a free goodie bag courtesy of Topwater Company along with a sample pack of their new Twitch clips. Also, 40% off on their new selection of Duck Camp Camo, which has just arrived. You can also find lots of Christmas shopping gifts at the premier kayak store and fly shop. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Highway in Metairie, Monday through Saturday, 10 to 6. And on those Tackle Tuesdays, they'll be open 8 to 8 p.m. And stop by early and get your free goodie bag. Captain Eric Mohabarak joins us now. And, Eric, thanks for joining us to give us a little bit of report. What's going on in the kayak world of fishing?
Oh, well, Don, you know, they got the big motor dispute going on. I'm not necessarily for it. I'm not against it if you're 65 or you have a handicap or something like that. I think that's a great thing. For new people getting in, it's a little rough, you know, with the prices of things. But that's technology, Don. You know, we didn't have, you know, I remember when the depth finders came out, people went back and forth on it and the pedal drives and all that. So I think it'll be worked out. I think they should allow, you know, a time period, like a year or so, since it was voted in, so that everybody could get a motor or have opportunity to get one for those who choose. But anyway, that's kind of my outlook on it. I think it kind of takes away from the sport a little bit, but that's just me, you know. But, you know, it should be fun to watch and see how things turn out, you know, now that people are having motors. So
do you think
that's about
enough,
what I have to say.
Do you think there's enough potential participants to have two divisions, a motorized and a paddle, more pedal?
Don, I think they could do two divisions. I think they should leave the, let's just say, the minimalist as still the lead prize or whatever, and have a division just like they have a women's division or a children's division or a golden oldie division. I think that would be good. Offer maybe like a gift certificate or something, you know, $100 gift certificate or something like that. And then let the big prize, like the kayak that they give away at the bigger tournaments. I would think that would be better because it would still be able to involve people who has a pirogue and can fish, you know, in it, or a canoe or a pelican kayak or something like that, you know, instead of a big fancy kayak like most of us have these days. You know, it gives opportunity for people to get in and try it. And also, you know, the kids are the future of the sport. And of course, the technology and stuff. I have a 16-year-old. He's all over technology. This is part of the growing thing is what I see.
Well, I'm sure it'll work itself out and seek its own level and be settled at some point. Now, let's talk a little about some spots to go fish. We're into that wintertime fishing. What techniques or tactics does a kayaker change to when you get these colder temperatures like this?
Well, Darren, personally, it depends on what we're targeting. Like right now, you know, the trout and stuff like that, they're getting on the oyster reefs, you know, and the cuts. I find the oyster reefs, and when the sun comes up and it warm up a little bit, the trout are pulled to that. Also, you'll pick up some redfish during that time. The redfish are still being picked up in the ponds. Some looking, some are in the cuts. Some are in some deeper water, but the water is cooling off, so things are going to be moving slower. A lot of people like to downsize their artificial lures during the wintertime, and I believe that's true when it gets really, really cold. You know, I still, this time of year, throw big, you know, 4, 5, 6-inch baits, but I'm always chasing a big fish, so, you know, I believe big fish, big bait, but that's just me. Something else that's going on really good right now, too, is that the sheephead down in Plaquemines Parish, like along the rocks in Empire, if you launch it, the Empire Marina right there, just go down the rocks and use a jig head with shrimp. Man, you could load the boat up, any structure, anywhere you know they got pylons down there or oyster reefs or something. Man, to put some dead shrimp, or if you can get a piece of crab, they'll eat that too. It's really easy. I'm saying easy fishing, but you know how fishing is. But it's really good, and it's something you could take a kid to do and then catch a pile of fish with, you know, with short distances.
Don't undergun either. Those sheephead can fight. You get a big 6-7 pound sheephead on there, that's a lot that the ultralight can handle for sure. Well, listen, Eric, some of your fans are out there. We got one saying, yay for Captain Bigfoot. You're the green egg hero. And we got Roy and Todd there also listening to Captain Dirty, another nickname in Springfield. So your fan club is alive and well this morning. Eric, you're one of the few guys that take people out in kayaks and on charters. Tell them how to get a hold of you if somebody's interested in doing that with you.
Yeah, Don. Well, you can find me on your website or get in touch with you, and you can give them my number, or they could text me on my phone or give me a call. Also on Facebook, the Louisiana Kayak Company, and Instagram, Louisiana Kayak Company, and that's about how you can get in touch with me. I'm out here.
All right. I'm
getting ready to leave right now. Matter of fact, to go catch me some of them sheephead because I like to eat them.
I know they are definitely Fat Boy approved. All right. Thank you, Eric.
Sir.
We appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next time.
All right, Don. Have a great week, man. We'll yell at you, all right?
All righty. There he goes, a guy of many names, Captain Raccoon Feet, Dirty, you know, Bigfoot. They got a lot of names for him. Great guy. Does a good service, too. All right, we'll be back right after this. We're going to change from fishing to duck hunting. We're going to drop in on 3 duck blinds and get some live action for you. Coming up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got it. Here it is. Everybody, the world, everybody's been waiting for the origin of the name Frog Lawyer, okay? Frog Lawyer is an attorney from Rain, which is the frog capital of the world. And on a very late tournament night, the name Frog Lawyer, because he is Luke the Lawyer, and they started. His real name is Luke, but from that day on has been known as the Frog Lawyer. So that solves that mystery. All right, also getting lots of info on using a turkey fryer without the oil. Dustin and Bush says he's got one. He jacks the turkey up with a lot of ejection sauce. Comes out phenomenal. I might have to look into that, those infrared fryers with use no oil, but still a little bit concerned about the moist and the tenderness, but I guess the injection takes care of that. All right, you can also inject ducks, and Mike Smith's probably got a few of them. We'll be back in 10 seconds to find out what's going on in the blind of Mike Smith of Louisiana Duck Hunts in Delacroix Island right after we let our local stations identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we take you directly to the blind of Mike Smith, LADuckHunts.com. And, Mike, are you fully recovered from the hunt with Goosey Geis yesterday? Are your ears healed up?
I tell you what, I think that mallard came out of City Park yesterday.
Yeah, y'all killed a greenhead. I think he brought that with him. He must have brought
it. I think so. I think he had it in his blind bag and threw him up in the air or something, you know?
Well, you've been doing phenomenal down there. Recap the week and then what's going on this morning.
The first week was fantastic. That front came through. Bye-bye, ducks.
Uh-oh. Pushed them out, huh?
Yeah, it pushed the blue wings out. And then the northwester pushed the water out. So Everybody who was complaining the first week, too much water. I said, yeah, you're not going to complain when the Northwester comes.
Yeah.
We had to move to my furthest lease, the only place that has water, but it don't have as many birds. Hold on. Oh, never mind. But, yeah, the water's slick as glass right now, and we got a few shots. That's about it.
Well, yeah, it could change, kind of weak. We got the wind's going to be switching around. It's going to be out of the south and southeast by tomorrow, so the water should return.
Oh, that's perfect. The best – everybody thinks north winds, cold weather is best. The best weather for Delacour Island, 70 degrees, good southeast wind.
Yeah, no, really. I think most Louisiana, that's true. That holds true for most of the state.
Yeah, that's what they want in Hackberry in southwest Louisiana, southeast winds.
Yeah.
But yeah, these north winds, they take a strong north wind. Those birds will take advantage of it and head south.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sorry to hear the blue wings left because, boy, that was making up so much of the bags.
You know.
Once they're gone, then you're on the big ducks, and hopefully the next front will push some in.
Yeah, we've been killing a bunch of green wings. So the green wings came down. They're in big flocks. And 2 days ago, we got into some gray ducks and widgeon.
Mm-hmm.
So we're moving around different places wherever it has water. I couldn't go to where I was yesterday because it's all mud.
Yeah.
But the tide's coming up little by little, so it can only get better.
Yeah, well, you know, the birds will move back in. And, that surprised me when y'all killed a greenhead. You know, it used to be common to kill mallards in Louisiana, South Louisiana, but it's been a wasteland for mallards. They just don't come down anymore. And was that a single bird or was it in a flock?
A single. I called him and he came about 35 yards over the blind, just as stupid as can be.
He didn't know he was dealing with a five-time duck calling champion and a crack shot like Goosey, you know. Mike, speaking of duck calling, I'm going to bring, when I come down there this week, I'm going to bring this recording that's being sent to me. We got two guys head up, mano-a-mano, Steel Man versus Big Burr. They've also done their call routines and they want it to be judged, so I'm going to get you to help me judge because you got a lot of experience. But we can't do it in the blind because you know about using electronic calls in the blind. You can't do that.
Yeah. Only for geese after the duck season closes.
In fact, I'm kind of questioning whether these two guys would be a plus or a negative by playing their duck calls while we're out there.
Might bring in some organzas or something.
Yeah. Well, Mike, LADuckHunts.com. If somebody wants to call you, what's the phone number to get in on some of this duck hunting? Before we got plenty of time left in the second and third splits.
504-228-4506.
All right.
And,
very good.
It's going to get better. We just need some good weather days.
Yeah. Well, again, you got to remember just getting out there and doing it. You know, it's not about the numbers all the time. It's about the experience. And beautiful day like today when you see some nice colors dropping down in the decoys. Doesn't take a whole bunch. Make me happy.
That's it. I got two good guys with me today. If ever you want to hear some good jokes, hunt with them. One of them right. Originally from New York and the other. Well, they both live in Florida now.
Okay. Hey, a lot of people have left New York and come down south, I can tell you that, for a lot of reasons. All right, Cap Mike, we'll talk to you, and we'll set up some time and talk about our trip coming up this week.
That'll work. I'll give you a holler.
All righty. There he goes, Mike Smith. All right, from his blind, we go across the river, Mississippi River, that is, and we'll head over to Burris and find out what Ryan Lambert's guides have been doing down at Cajun Fishing Adventures, where they do hunt ducks. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. From the blind in Delacroix Island, we fly you across over near the east side of the Mississippi River into the blind of our plastic man, Captain Ryan Lambert. Ryan, what you guys doing out in the blind this morning?
I was just sitting here watching a beautiful day come to life.
It is gorgeous.
Just had a giant flock of green wings come land in the decoys, and we got a few of them out of it. And we had a couple of canvasbacks come by that we shot them in the wrong side.
On the wrong side.
They didn't hit them where they toot. Yeah, you got to hit them where they toot, not where they poot. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's for sure. Green wings, huh? Yeah. It's a little early for green wings, I guess, when it starts to get chilly.
No, they here, and they got blue wings here. Everybody, all the blinds yesterday except for one got their limit, and I think he had eight. But, Manuel had He was done in 40 minutes. He was in the pocket, the teal was eating him alive. He had 22 teal and two gray ducks. I had three pintails, three canvasbacks, a few gadwalls, a couple of ringnecks, some teal, and a smorgasbord.
Yeah, that's a nice mix. You know, Manuel, I remember when he first started with you, you know, and he has really come around. I'd say he's probably your number one guy.
Yeah, well, that's because he works hard and he gets the best spot.
Does.
He kind of elbows his way into it, you know. But I heard Jake shooting earlier, so Jake's shooting. I heard Thomas shooting. I can't hear Manuel. Yesterday, I never heard him shoot one time, and he calls me, and he's only like maybe 1,000 yards away from me, but with the wind blowing that way, and he says, okay, I'm done. Bolo's coming over here. I said, well, golly.
Wow.
I said, I got six.
Yeah. So you guys do that quite a bit. If one blind is in a real hot spot and they limit out, they clear and get out of Dodge and let somebody else come in, huh?
Well, what you do, you leave your decoys, you go pick up the other guy's decoys so you don't have to go back. And that way it's just a circle. And then when we get back to the boats to go in, then we'll just switch decoys, you know?
Yeah. Smooth move.
And then,
well,
then
these trips. Fishing. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. These trips today are both blast and cast.
All of them, every day, buddy. Mm-hmm. Every day. I got fishermen out right now, and everybody that's here hunting is going to fish. I think I have 6 or 7 blinds today, and everybody's going to fish after they hunt. So, yeah, fishing's been real good. The river's come up and got dirty, but it's still 3-something. But, you know, once you get dirty, it takes so long for that silt to fall out. But, you know, all they did is push them in the bay, so we're just going right there in the bay and just smacking them. You know, they don't go very far.
Mm-hmm.
And, so the trout are really good. On both sides, we're catching trout. And the redfish pushed out the river because the redfish got a little tough for a little while because they was in the river and we couldn't get on them right. But now just push them back into the bays where we can put the hammer on them. So it's all good.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, prime time down there. What's going on Thanksgiving weekend down there? You guys going to be busy on that?
We always take off Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving night I got a full house again, and we start the next day. The very next day we have 5 or 6 blinds, and you know, I just worry we have so much negative tide coming in January. I have very few days I can hunt, so I'm going to figure out. I'm going to just go find where they sitting on open water, and we're going to hunt up in open water. But we're going to get on them because, you know, I can't. That's half the month I can't even book. So we'll get to it.
Yep. You know, we had a lot of discussion this morning about frying turkeys versus baking them, and some people are using these oilless air fryer. What kind of turkey do you like? How do you cook your turkey?
Well, we have 60 people coming.
Ooh.
So we'll have 3 turkeys and 2 hams. So brother-in-law will fry it in the airless fryer, the greaseless fryer. And that's really good. And then Carmen will bake a real big one, and somebody else will bring something else, you know, smoked or just baked, whatever. But, you know, as long as they don't overcook it. You know, so people have a tendency to overcook a turkey a little bit when they're doing it in the air fryer, in the fryer as well with the grease. and I don't like a dry turkey, you know.
No.
Carmen's got it down to science. It's so good. Oh, my God. Then we got the melaton. We'll have 50 casseroles. And, oh, Lord, it's unbelievable to see my house at Thanksgiving.
Sounds like an important holiday for you guys, and there's a lot to be thankful for, you know.
Oh, without a doubt. Oh, look at him turn. Oh, my God. Act like I'm saying something sexy to him. Jeez.
What do you got working?
Looks like some widgets. They're way high, but boy, they turned on a dime. Mm. Oh, my goodness. 3 of them, but they are dropping like a rock. That is so beautiful to see.
That is a pretty sight.
Widgets, I think.
All right, we're going to let you work them ducks. Oh, that sounds like a good whistle there. Some good call in there.
Daddies.
All right, we're going to let you go, Captain Ryan. Hope you all limit out today, and we'll catch up with you next week. Keep on doing what you're doing, and
have
a happy
Thanksgiving.
All right.
And everybody, bye-bye.
There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert. The guy's got three arms sometimes. He talks on the phone to us. He calls with a duck call, and he's got a shotgun in his other hand, too. All right, we come back after this. Another duck blind, but we headed all the way across the state. We're going to Hackberry, Rod and Gun. We're going to talk to Captain Kirk Stancil, get a hunting/fishing report to wrap up the Outdoors with Don Dubuque radio program. And in just a minute, we're going to get to Captain Kirk Stancil, Hackberry, Rod and Gun, in his duck blind, where they are here. They're piling up the ducks, but I had an important text question that came in. I wanted to get to this. Someone wanted to know, they heard me talking about the red snapper season has been reopened only for charter guides, not for recreational fishermen, and they would love to hear the reasoning for this. The reason is there are two separate harvest quotas. There's a quota for the federally permitted offshore guides, and there's another quota that is given to the recreational fishermen. The recreational fishermen, it was calculated that they had reached the limit, so they closed the season when that happens. They found that there was some leftover fish that the offshore recreational industry did not take advantage of, so they're allowing them to take those fish. So hope that's a good explanation for you. Now to the duck blind of Captain Kirk Stancil, where I'm sure they're knocking ducks down and dogs are hitting the water and people are happy. Tell me what's going on, Kirk.
Well, I'm sitting here. We have 10 green wings, a widgeon, and a couple of shovelers.
That's not so bad for this early in the morning, huh?
No, we've had a good start. You know, it's been a rough start for the season. I mean, we've been shooting ducks, but we don't have the ducks we normally do. But yesterday, a lot of ducks showed up, and it's showing this morning. They're showing out.
Yeah. You know, that's strange. Mike Smith was saying that, you know, the front came through and it pushed his ducks out, and you're saying it pushed your ducks in. So things can be so different, you know?
That's right, different areas. But, we've had a real good early morning so far.
And well, you must have some pretty good shooters with you, because those green wings are tough little targets, man. They are tough.
Well, they are. You know, if you take your time, they're really the easiest to shoot after you get that first shot off, because then they just flare up and, you know, you can pick them off. Most people – get rid of their three shells before the ducks get right, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, and you know, green wings are usually in pretty large flocks, groups, and you got to pick a bird. You can't, you know, get distracted and be looking at one and shooting at the other, because, I mean, I know what's happened to me. I'll shoot at one bird, and two birds behind him drops, you know.
That's right. I see it all the time, and I do it occasionally. So.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad y'all having a good day. Is this going to be a cast after the blast this morning?
No, not today. Not this particular group, but we have, I think, six boats going after the hunt today.
Uh-huh.
And the fish has been good. We've a lot of trout right now. You know, the days it's windy, that's tough. But like yesterday, we had just one boat go out, and they limited out. And then we got those today. If it stays calm like this, it'll be good.
Now, when you say limited out, you're talking to speckled trout?
Yeah, on trout, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the redfish, it's still oversized reds or undersized. Not many slot reds around right now.
Uh-huh. And, of course, the flounders, we get to keep those starting next Sunday again.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think as warm as it's been, I think the flounder is still going to be around. It's going to extend the flounder run.
Well, that's good news because, you know, about this time when that water temperature drops, they head offshore, deeper water to spawn.
That's right.
Not available, so that's good. Well, sounds like everything's great and a lot to be thankful for down there at Hackberry, huh?
Absolutely. Everything's rolling good right now. You know, we're shooting ducks, catching fish, life good in Hackberry.
Yes, it is. Well, give us the information on hunt contacting you if somebody wants to book a trip there.
Okay. The number's 888-762-3391. Our website's Hackberry Rod and Gun. You spell out and.com.
Now, will they be serving your mom's famous stewed down duck up there this Thanksgiving?
Well, we had it last night.
Yeah, I could almost have it every night. That is so good. So
good.
<It's> good. Well, listen, we got one of our listeners, Lafitte LT, tells me he's going to be down there with you next week. So hopefully while you got him in the blind, we'll give y'all a call and we'll see how y'all doing.
That'll work. Okay.
All right. Well, everything sounds like it's pretty good down in Hackberry, and we're going to let you go on that note, and we'll see you next week.
All right, Don. Well, good talking to you, and you'd have a great show. Thank you for the call.
All right. You and the family have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the same to you.
All right, get to busy now. Get there and get some more of those ducks. All right, let's see. We got some more text messages we want to get into. Ryan mentioned Melaton. Someone wants to know how he prepares them. I will get that information for you next week. I'm sure he'll be glad to share it with us. And here's one. We were talking about the ladies from PETA who were throwing rocks in the water at Grand Isle to disrupt the fish. They said, there's a great clip on YouTube. Some crazy old lady walks up to the water's edge and starts throwing bread to some ducks. Then the hunters point and say those are decoys, and she storms off calling them murderers. And as you can guess, we probably know who she voted for. All right, we got, let's see, we got some more texts coming in. See if we can get to as many as we can fit in here. Let's see. Someone wanted to know about, it made a good comment. You know, they've been hunting ducks since 1968. You and I started about the same time. Strong north wind was great. Yes, it was. But Katrina took the land away. Well, not just Katrina. It's been a long, slow erosion process. And now there's too much open water for the north wind. It's like pulling the drain plug. Absolutely. Just like it protects us when we have marshland and wetlands from coming in. It also slows down the withdrawal when the winds come out of the north and northwest and the tide starts dropping. But now it just pours out of there because there's nothing to stop it. Good point. All right, we'll see y'all again next week. Same time, same place. Hope you'll join us for another episode of The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.